Welcome to Center Friends Meeting on this Christmas Eve Eve. So it's so nice to be here and see everybody. Will we please turn to page number 182, the hymn, and we'll begin our service. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that we have been given. We thank you for your gift to us of your Son that we're celebrating in this season. Open our hearts and minds to the message we're to receive. Guide us and lead us for the rest of this season. And the year ahead, give us peace. In God's name we pray, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Much better last week. Glad to see everyone here this morning. It's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day to be here, and we celebrate not only being able to be together and worship Jesus Christ, but we get to celebrate his birth in our world and the story that we're going to hear, the messages that we can read, and the spirit that's going to fill this place and touch each one of you this morning. If this is your first time here, welcome to Center Friends. There's a visitor card in the pew. Ask for a name, a phone number, and an email address. I'd love to send you something, send you an email or a text or a phone call. Just place that in the offering plate when the ushers come by. I have a few announcements this morning. There are fruit baskets in the former library in the back there, or the front, depending on how you want to look at it. But make sure that you pick one up. If someone lives near you, there's names on those for our folks that we care for, that some may be here, some may be shut-ins. But if you live near that person, if you would, pick that up and offer to deliver it to them, please. And we'd appreciate that. In the fellowship hall is the post office. Please check to see if there's Christmas cards back there with your name on it. The kids came yesterday and with some adults and had pizza and enjoyed a movie or a Center Friends production of the best Christmas pageant ever. They watched it when they were littler, and I talked with a couple of them, and they laughed about how young they look and how silly they acted. And I think one even said how chubbier they were than they are now. So I think they had a good time doing that, and they sorted the cards. So make sure you stop in the fellowship hall to do that as well. Are there any other announcements?
Next Sunday, we're going to do our youth collection for female supplies. And so I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to let our lovely assistant show you the items that we are focusing on for Sunday. It's bar soap. And shampoo. And just a reminder that, you know, we're busy with our Christmas stuff, but people in need, you know, they have needs constantly. And so FEMAP is so good to do consistent help to people in the community. And so youth will be coming around during worship next Sunday with a little wagon, and you can donate any needed items that they need. So we are going to focus on the bar soap and shampoo for next Sunday. So any help with that will be greatly appreciated.
All right, that's next Sunday, bar soap and shampoo, as Josh so eloquently and lovely presented. Any other announcements? All right, well, our ushers come forward for our tithes and offerings. Let us give thanks for our blessings. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with open hearts and thankful hearts for the birth of your Son, Jesus, in our world. Lord, I thank you for the establishment of the church and that we can gather together in your name and in your spirit and profess the message of the gospel, and that we can lead others to salvation, to the love of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we thank you for the resources you have given us. We thank you for the blessings and the givings that you've provided Center Friends. Continue to bless us, Lord. Give us direction on how to use these funds so that we can continue to do your will in your time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we enter our time of prayer requests and praises. One prayer request I want to make mention of is Betty King. She's battling shingles this morning. So for those who have had them know how bad they can be, and she's battling those this morning, but I know she wanted to be here. Are there any other prayer requests or praises or updates? Any others? I visited with Linda Trogdon. She was in the hospital this week with some dehydration and some infection. She is now, or currently, as of this morning, at Fisher Park Rehab. She was doing very well when I went to see her, and we had a lot of fun messing with the nurse about me being a preaching sheriff. She thought that was the funniest thing to tell her nurse that, and the nurse was really confused, but so Linda's doing much better. Any others?
Opportunity to see Ethel Whitaker yesterday, and she asked that we keep her and Donald in our prayers. He's got some more testing that he's going to have done.
Definitely add Ethel and Donald to the prayers. We have some more medical tests and things of that nature that they're waiting for answers for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, I come to you with such a thankful heart. We come to you as a gathered body of believers, knowing that you listen to us and you provide for us in your time. Lord, there's so many things going on this Christmas season, so many needs that we don't know, but that you know. You know worldwide what the homeless need, what the addicted need, what the poor need, what those who may not have a church, may not understand their faith. You know what they need. Lord, I ask that you touch them, that you place people in their lives to provide for them, to reach them, to minister to them, and to lead them to you. Lord, I thank you so much for Betty King and all that she does here. She's a silent servant. She does so much that many don't see, and we lift her up this morning as she's battling shingles, and we know that's a painful and very uncomfortable illness to get over, and that it can be debilitating. Lord, lift her up and place your hand upon her that she can be healed soon so that she can continue serving you and serving sinner friends. Lord, lift up Vernon Puckett, and you know the needs there. You know that this has not been a good week for him. Place a special covering over him. Allow the Holy Spirit to touch him, Lord, so that he can improve. Lord, you know the situation with Donald and Ethel Whitaker and all the medical tests that may be coming forward. Wonderful people, Lord. You've placed them in so many lives to be humorous and such a wonderful presence to be around. And his service to the fire department and service to his community far reaches beyond just this area. Help heal them, Lord. Give them understanding and peace as they go through the different tests and different medical visits, that they understand why and they understand how, but that most of all they understand that you're there for them. And give us the strength and the reminder to lift them up daily so that we can love them and care for them as they love and care for us. Lord, I thank you for Linda Trogdon, and she's just a wonderful light to be in the presence of. And you know that she's battling some minor illness and minor infection that she just needs to recover over, Lord. And she's just a wonderful presence to be around. And I thank you for her lifetime of service as a Christian and as a Quaker, Lord. Continue to heal her. Continue to keep her spirits high, and that she's continuing to smile as those people who come to visit. Give the staff at Fisher Park Rehab the understanding to see what kind of light they're actually in the presence of, and that she can reach them with the gospel through her being there. Lord, most of all, I lift up all those that are unspoken. You know the hurts and the emotions, especially around Christmas time, of those who have lost loved ones, the depression. Be there for them. Let them see you. Open their eyes. Remove the shingles from their eyes so they can see that you are working in their life, and that no matter what the situation is, we have you to lean on. You are our rock and our foundation. I thank you for Center Friends and all that we have given to the community, and that you continue to fill this place with servants' hearts. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, who was born and died on the cross for us. For it's in his name I thank you. Amen. Amen. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the street corner. Go tell it at your office. Go tell it everywhere you can possibly tell it. What a wonderful message to tell. This morning, if you notice, I didn't put a scripture reference because I've got a lot. We're going to be in the Word this morning. We're going to be in the Word about 7 different times. And I promise I won't leave anybody who's a page turner behind. But we're going to be in the Word this morning because we're going to celebrate something that is absolutely wonderful, and that is the birth and life and death of Jesus Christ. But I want to start off this morning with a little joke. 2 boys were spending their night at Grandma's house, And at bedtime, the two boys were saying their prayers when the youngest one began praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for Thomas the Train Set. I pray for an electric scooter. I pray for a new Spider-Man action set. His older brother leans over and says, "Why are you shouting? God is not deaf." He said, "No, but Grandma is." I saw that this morning. I had to say it. It was Grandma is, because we know grandmas will get anything. Grandmas don't spoil; they just love a lot. So this morning, you'll see that the message title is a math equation, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But across the world today, millions of Christians and people are celebrating Christmas. It's Christmas Eve Eve, as Mary wished everyone. Now, they're celebrating in different ways. They're celebrating by fighting the traffic at Friendly Center and losing their religion. They're fighting by visiting, or they're celebrating by being with family and having lots and lots and lots and lots of starch and bread that I'll be partaking of a little later. They may be sleeping in the chair celebrating because they've had lots and lots and lots of starch. They may be yelling at their kids because they're running around like crazy because they're out of school and other things are coming soon in the week. Or maybe they're sitting in church today, celebrating in a worshipful spirit with a worshipful heart. Well, today is a worship celebration. It's not just of the birth, but it's of the life of Christ. So this morning, we're going to do something, and I've got one of my former teachers here who may not remember, but I hated this subject in school. I still hate this subject, but we're going to look at this subject this morning. And I didn't do very well in it because I went to a directional school down there on the other side of 421. But we're going to do a little math. I hate math. I hate math worse, and I know Miss Riddle, I'm so sorry. She was my sixth grade math teacher. I do. I could not do word problems to save my life. And algebra, well, I do remember PEMDAS, and that's about, in the Pythagorean theorem, and that's about as much as I can go. So she did teach me something. Just don't hold this against me this morning. So the title of the sermon is 1 plus 1 equals 1. And I know for the math majors in the group, that's just flat out wrong. And no, it's not a typo. And no, I didn't lose my mind. And no, that Martha didn't type it in wrong. It's 1 plus 1 equals 1, and I'm going to show you how. So let's dive right into our math equation this morning. Let's go to that first integer, that first number 1, and turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And we're going to stay in Luke and John, and then I'll jump to Philippians at the end. So just kind of give you an idea if you want to budget your Bible a little bit. Luke and John. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. This is kind of the beginning. Luke here describes the story of how Mary came to be pregnant with Jesus. We know we can read chapter 2, and we'll skip over in a little bit to Luke chapter 2 about the actual birth, but I want to focus on this kind of foreshadowing beforehand. Now, Mary, a virgin, was visited by the angel of the Lord. Can you imagine how that encounter went? I mean, you're just hanging out with your fiancé, David, or Joseph, Lord of mercy. It was in my mind. Told y'all. With Joseph. And all of a sudden, Gabriel, who's mentioned only a handful of times in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, comes to visit and says, you're pregnant. Huh? I'm sorry, I don't think so. But what did Mary answer? I am the Lord's servant. You're going to have Jesus, who's going to be the Son of the Most High. No pressure, because God has found favor in you. Gabriel mentions that even God had the power to impregnate her sister Elizabeth, who was older and was said to be unable to have children. But he arranged for that to happen. And Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. She was in her old age. But this was a miraculous time for a virgin to conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit and bear the child of God. Pretty important. So let's look at Luke 2, 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. That is the birth of Jesus, right there. The actual birth, right there. She gave birth to a son and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. The baby is here. Human baby, crying, screaming, hungry, need to be changed. Baby. The baby that was given to a virgin woman under the direction of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the first part of our math equation. One, miraculous birth. It is an important part of the equation because from this one birth, a life was lived that delivered a message of love and peace throughout the entire land there. Jesus' life challenged the legalistic temple and the temple leaders and those who had personal agendas to enforce the law. God delivered a law to Moses in the Old Testament to be followed. Time would go on. Man got away from it and took the law a little too seriously, a little too judgmentally. And we know there's only one judge. So the world was sent God in the flesh to live among them. Okay, y'all, I can't get the message, so I'm just going to send y'all what I look like or what you look like so you can understand him. Here's my son, Jesus. We'll see how this works out. John 1. John chapter 1. I love this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now skip to verse 14, same chapter. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the birth of Jesus. The Word became flesh, and that flesh was named Jesus. That one miraculous birth to a virgin woman in terrible conditions under the fear of King Herod was the Word. That's the Christmas story. That's it. The birth of Jesus right there, done. Christmas is done. We've explained the story, right? We're good till next year. Next Christmas. How about we continue through our math problem and let's get to our solution? Can't leave anything undone, and we've got to show our work. We have the privilege to be able to read about a portion of Jesus' adult life here on earth. There's not a lot about his growing up because scholars have thought that maybe he grew up like any other normal child, and he learned of the time, and he learned to trade, and he worked with his dad. We know at the age of 12, he went into the temple, and he actually listened, and he said, "I'm in my Father's house." That was his first message of proclaiming who he was when he went away for 3 days and his parents couldn't find him. They found him in church. There are 4 written accounts of the life of Jesus. Many of them are in sync, and we know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a lot of similarities, which is a good thing because they're written at 4 different times, but there are 4 different accounts. And in my line of work, when you have 4 witnesses who saw the same thing, probably true. I'm just saying. But it gives us a solid foundation of faith, a solid foundation to step on so that when we're going through this life, through the journey of faith, we can read what our role model was about. So we have the wonderful miracle of Jesus' birth, but it doesn't end there. Contained within that birth and life are amazing feats and acts and stories, lessons, just wonderful things to read about his life and his ministry. And we don't have time this morning to cover all of what's recorded in the Gospels, of what Jesus did and what he said and what he taught. But I just want to read some headlines. And in my Bible, they kind of give a subject of each of the things through the Gospels. And I want to read some of those and just listen to them for just a little bit and kind of see how things are going. The baptism of Jesus. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus calls his first disciples. Jesus heals the sick. Love for enemies. Giving to the needy. Treasures in heaven. Do not worry. Prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. The faith of a centurion. The cost of following Jesus. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Jesus sends out the 12. The Father revealed in the Son. God's chosen servant. Parables. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus walks on water. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus predicts his death, not once, but 3 times. The Transfiguration. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The greatest commandment, the betrayal, the Last Supper, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion. Those are just a few of the subject headings of the life of Jesus. You see, the first number one in our equation is about the birth of Jesus, but contained within that important birth, in that number, are all of those things and more that I just read. That's one part of our equation. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. We'll go to our second part of our equation. Luke chapter 23, verse 44, starting with verse 44. Luke 23, starting with verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The miraculous birth and life of Jesus is now added to with the second number one, his death. But even more importantly, the events that follow. This is our second number one. So now we've got one plus one. Let's skip over to John chapter 20. I love the sound of flipping Bible pages. John chapter 20, starting with verse 11. This will explain our second number one. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni, Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Now don't look at me sideways because this is an Easter story, but it's the second part of our equation. You have the birth of Jesus, you have the death and resurrection of Jesus. He was crucified, he was buried in a tomb, and rose again on the third day. He was miraculously reborn as the risen Savior of the world and the true Son of God. Jesus Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene and then later appeared to his disciples, instructing them to go out and make more disciples, sharing the message of his teachings. The resurrection of Jesus is that second part of our equation, the birth plus the resurrection. One miraculous birth, and one miraculous resurrection. Everyone still with me? I get lost in math, so I'm just making sure everybody's good. Now I'm going to go slow. I promise I don't want to lose anybody, including myself. We now come to the hard part, solving it. I can tell you the integers and then the places things are supposed to go, but it's the solving part that's the hard part. So one birth plus one resurrection equals what? John 3:16. John chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him. One birth plus one resurrection equals one salvation. That's how that math equation works. Salvation is the deliverance from sin and its consequences brought about by our faith in Jesus. Our faith in the birth. Our faith in the plus sign, the life. Our faith in the next one, the resurrection. And that equals one salvation for us. That's the answer. What an awesome math equation. I actually like math now. Born to a virgin, lived and taught, simple message of love. A message that God is teaching us every single day. He died in the flesh for us as a sacrifice for all the sins of the world so that we know we can be reborn just like him as a Christian, as a follower. We can receive that salvation. And when we do, we can sit at the right hand of the Father. It gives us eternal salvation if we choose to solve the problem. Philippians 2, the last verse, I promise. Philippians 2, verse 6. Actually, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One plus one equals one. Now that's a lot. We've done some serious Bible surfing this morning. I put all these flags and I thought, oh, maybe that's too much. No such thing as too much Bible surfing. But when it comes to times like Christmas and Easter, it's not about just that one event. It's not about just the death of Christ and his resurrection at Easter. It's not just about the birth of Christ to a virgin woman. It's about everything put together that makes it Christmas, that makes it Easter. We got to expand on all of it to make sure it all fits together in the right equation. So this week, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I challenge you to celebrate more than that. Celebrate the entire math problem. Because if it wasn't for the miraculous birth, we wouldn't have the miraculous resurrection. And if it wasn't for either one of those, we'd have an unsolvable problem. We have a solvable problem today. There is an answer to one plus one. And it does equal one. We have the birth of a Savior who taught us and taught those before us to love, to live in peace, to live in simplicity, to let your word be your word. And he died for those teachings in the flesh and lives eternally with our Father. We have the birth of a Savior who gave us hope in a future, but we have to accept the math equation. We have the hope of eternal glory with our Father if we stop for a moment and show our work. As we enter into a quiet period of open worship, for some who like dares, I dare you to do this, or I challenge you to do this. Open your hearts. Open your ears to the moving and lifting and loving words of God. Because He's in this place. And He is stirring about in each one of us. And He may be screaming at us and we don't hear Him. We may be that deaf grandma. Reflect on the birth. Reflect on the life and reflect on the death. And reflect on the rebirth of Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you today? Allow it to soak in you. Put away Christmas lists and family gatherings and food and stuff and all the stuff that just makes our blood pressure go up. Put it away for just a minute. Allow it to soak in you, the light that fills you up and drives away all darkness. Professing that Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, died on a cross, risen from the tomb as your Savior, is the hope for your salvation. Because 1 + 1 does equal 1 in Christ.
I thought this might make you smile. I remembered this week when I was thinking about Christmas is at center and our Christmas pageant, that when I was a child, I thought that the shepherds wore bathrobes because they were watching over their flock by night.
Before we stand up and sing our closing hymn, flu season is upon us, and some are suffering in this meeting from that, and there are alcohol stations at both doors. Make sure after you shake my hand, you hit it on the way out so that we can keep the germs at bay, because last year I don't want the flu again. But please do so. If we would stand and sing 197, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Thank you, and protect us as we go out. Challenge us, pierce our hearts, and give us that strength, energy, and confidence to do the work you so delicately give us to do in your world. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.